Today, for our Friday Forum webinar, we welcome our very own Director of Alumni Career Services here at UVA's Alumni Association, Emily Bardeen. Emily is the founding director of Alumni Career Services and has been a part of the university community since 1998, including time as a UCS career counselor and as director of faculty and staff career services. Emily transitioned from a career in IT business development to career in organizational consulting. So she has both corporate and advising experience, and Emily has been on both sides of the table at Career Fairs. Here's Emily Bardeen with Key Strategy, Stand Out from the Career Fair Crowd.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Thanks so much for being with me today. I'm going to talk a little bit about different kinds of career fairs and what you can do to make sure that you have the best performance possible when you attend either a career fair or a job fair, and I will probably use these terms interchangeably. There we go. Career fairs can be very large and they can be diverse with industries that cross the map. They can have multiple companies. They can be, in addition, very small. They can be very targeted. They can be part of a professional association, something that occurs when you're at a conference. They can have interviews that take place during the job fair. They can only be to drop off resumes. They can only be to talk to recruiters. They can be very different in how they're set up. So today what I'm going to talk about primarily are the kinds of job and career fairs you attend that look a lot like the ones in this picture. Multiple companies from different industry areas where people in different occupations attend. And I'll be happy to answer questions on other kinds of job and career fairs as well. Miriam, can you check on the audio going in and out? I don't have any apparent problems here. When we think about standing out in a job fair, what we normally look at is getting a recruiter's positive attention at a job fair. And when we want to think about that, I put together 8 steps that we'll go through to help you have the best performance you possibly can. I don't think we're really talking about the kind of standing out in a crowd that this person's really put together. What we are thinking about, though, is what kind of positive attention you can get and why that career fair is going to work for you. If you think about it, 80%, probably more than that, a figure I found was 80% of Fortune 500 employers now only accept applications online. That was a 2012 figure. We're probably above that now. Think of it, 80% of employers. And of those 80%, over 93% of them use an automated system in order to do a first pass on your application. So you're not even going to talk to a human being, or a human being isn't even going to look at your application until an automated entity has decided whether or not you should continue. That's not very good odds. What's great about a career fair? Human beings are at a career fair. So let's think about that. Also, by the end of 2014, 40% of professionals say they're going to start conducting a job search. If you want to really put your job search in a position where you can stand out, attend a job fair or a career fair, because you're going to be able to talk to humans, which is absolutely something you're not going to be able to do with the proliferation of online applications. If we really want to think about how to stand out best at a career fair, we have to look at the people who we want to connect with, and that's the employers. Now, employers can really seem like alien beings sometimes, and let's take a look at what we're really going to be approaching when we look at those employers. These pictures are 4 different employers that we have that are UVA alums. They've actually done webinars for us. On our left here is William Chichester. He works at Capital One. Daphne Norvell, she recently did a webinar for us on her staffing company. Great webinar. Rob Kelly, he's the former director of HR at a school in the South. He also used to be director of compensation here at UVA. and Barbara Kessler. She has been the Director of HR for SNL Financial, and she also is here with us now at UVA. All great people listen to their webinars, and you can also potentially connect with them on LinkedIn if you have questions about HR issues. When employers attend a job fair, they have several things in mind, and one of the things they like the best is they're going to be in one place and they can talk to people. Primarily, they're looking for you. They want to be able to market what they're doing, what their company is after, and they have specific jobs in mind they're looking to fill. They want to see what's out there in terms of the market. They are interested in knowing what kinds of job seekers are there and who they can deal with. They also want to meet you. They want to be able to assess potential candidates face-to-face because they don't really like that whole concept of having to go through the automated system either. The only reason they're doing it is there are so many candidates they can't possibly deal with them themselves. They need to be able to talk to people just like you want to talk to them, and that is your biggest asset. They also want to be able to network with other recruiters while they're there, just as you want to be able to network with other people. They want to know what's going on in the marketplace, just like you do. And just like people who want to stand out from the crowd, they want to get the opportunity to observe what's going on with their competitors. Who's going to their tables? Are they talking to the same people that the employers are talking to? Who are the hot potential candidates? They want to get the lay of the land, just like you do. And the only way you can do these things are in person, and to be able to do it all in the same place is an absolute advantage, just like you. One theme that will come up over and over today is, why do employers want to hire people? If you can keep that in mind, you will be the person that's going to stand out above everybody else. And the very simple reason is this. The only reason employers hire people is because they have a problem and they need to solve it. Maybe their problem is a great problem. They've increased their revenues and they have so many customers, they need to hire more people to serve their customers. That's a great problem. Or maybe they have a problem because something isn't going well and they need somebody with specific expertise to solve that problem. If you can figure out what the fundamental problems are in that company, and it may be that the job descriptions give you that clue, then you can develop your resume, you can develop your talking points, you can develop everything so that when you talk to those recruiters, you're showing them, you're giving them clues that you're the person that can solve the problem. It's really the best thing you can do. When they're meeting everyone at those fairs, they have things in mind that they're looking for. And everything you say to them are clues. Are these clues the things that are the keywords, just like you're putting keywords in your resume, are these the keywords they're looking for? And the way you find out those keywords is understanding what the problems are that they're trying to solve fundamentally. Any questions on that? Does that make sense? Okay. Well, let's think about what's important to you. Just like in a job search, you have goals that you want to accomplish. And when you go to a career fair, if you've been to one, then you'll know that people who have goals are probably doing better than people don't. So let's just take a second and let me ask you, how many people have attended a career fair in the past year? And you can use the little hand raising under your name there. There's a hand raising capability. Just click if you've attended a career fair in the past. Let's see how many have done that. So we've got, great. So we've got a bunch of people that have attended. Let me ask you another one. So let's clear those, Marianne. Are you planning on attending a career fair in the next 6 months? I think that's kind of an obvious if you've... Okay. Thank you. So those of you who have been to a career fair, perhaps you've seen people who I call grazers. They seem to, they're not walking too fast. They're just sort of going around. Maybe they're picking up a lot of giveaways. They always have giveaways at fairs. And they just seem to be, well, I call them window shoppers. They just seem to be kind of there. And I'd say a good 50% of people are just kind of there at a career fair. They're just sort of checking it out. And they may be there because that's their goal. Sometimes, and in fact, I advise everybody, check out a job fair or career fair once a year, because you want to make some connections, build your network. Check out what your worth is in the marketplace. Gauging that market, knowing what your value is, seeing what people are looking for is a good way for you to find out what kind of skill sets you should be developing for your career anyway. One of the worst things that can happen is that you've just been sliding along at work, and one day you get that pink slip, whether you deserved it or not, and all of a sudden you have to look for a job and you realize you haven't kept up your skills. Checking out job and career fairs is a great way for you to know how up to the minute you are, what do you need to do to stay competitive. Everybody should do that once a year, every 18 months, something like that. If you're thinking about starting a job search, you're not quite sure yet, great way to practice talking with employers when you don't have the pressure. But if you're an active job seeker, you want to do all these things we have here on the left-hand column anyway. You want to make sure and choose which are some of the goals for you. Do you want to go to build your network? Do you need to gather some info? Where are people hiring? Where are they not? What do I need to do in order to make a good job on my job search? Gauge the market. Am I applying at the right level, which is an important aspect of your job search? Or maybe I'm not that great at talking. Maybe I do need to do some practice. And then additional things that active job seekers need to do that window shoppers don't is this recruiter positive attention. And I say positive attention because you don't want to be the guy, and I am not making this up, that goes to the job fair wearing the Dr. Seuss hat because he thinks that's a great way for employers to notice him. Yes, they noticed him, not a great way. You also want to get invited to follow up by recruiters. So if you're an active job seeker, those are absolutely two things you need to do. Are there any other goals people have had when they've attended a career fair or a job fair that you want to share with others? Very funny, they exist. Thanks, Lisa. Leo. Anything else that anybody's done? Sometimes you want to get feedback on your resume. That could be something you might want to do. Things like that. Particular things you might want to do. The obvious, get hired. Well, you know, Matt, getting hired is not really a goal in a job fair because you typically do not get hired. The only time you might get hired is if that job fair has made it very clear that at the job fair they will be interviewing and they will be making hires. Typically, you do not get hired at a job fair. So that's not really your expectation. Here, I'm going off the side here. You do get, yes, thank you, Brendan. You do get referred to somebody. You may be invited to follow up. They may take your resume. But if you make your goal to get hired, you may be disappointed. So I would be more inclined to say, get referred, submit my resume, follow up for an interview. Those, unless you're at the MLA conference, they're going to interview you and go on to a second interview. Rarely do you get hired on the spot. It depends on the nature, but rarely does that occur. Okay. Once you have some goals set, in any job search, the key to a good job search is to identify targets. And those targets could be a geographic location, it could be an industry area, it could be, I have always wanted to work for Capital One, every day I'm going to get up and decide what I want. Cleo, an informational interview could be a great goal. Yes. Identifying targets to support your goals. Who am I going to talk to? What am I going to do? Those targets are critical. One reason I like this, this is step two, goals are step one. I like this picture. It's Navy flyers in World War II. The focus they have on that map, they're looking at their targets. They're obviously going to be attacking whatever, I suppose it's the bad guys. They're very focused on their target. So if you focus on the targets, and who might they be? Perhaps it's the companies you want to talk to at the job fair. Perhaps it's specific industries you want to be able to cover. Perhaps you have a particular recruiter you want to make sure you touch base with, someone you found on LinkedIn maybe. So if you make those targets and you have that list, then we can support your targets with actions. And that's what you want to do to make sure you don't end up one of those grazers when you go to a career fair and you can achieve your goal, which could be a referral or an informational interview, or going on the next step of getting an interview at the company. I will point out in this picture something that I thought was great. Can you see this? There's a cigar box over in the bottom left, so they're ready to celebrate when they achieve what they're trying to pull off. Any questions? Now, targets are interesting because if you're conducting a job search and you have identified certain areas, then you may need to do, you can transfer those targets to ideas that you already have in your job search. For example, if your plan is to work in higher education, if your plan is to work in a nonprofit arena, if your plan is to work in management consulting, then you can easily say my target is all the management consultant companies that are going to be at this career fair. Well then, how do we find out who they are or who's going to be at the fair? So let's think about that, and that's step three. You've probably heard this before. Everybody says it's important to do research. Well, yes, but what do they mean when they say research? Let's spend a little bit of time on that one. Background research can be as simple as pre-registering for the fair. Often, if you pre-register for a job or career fair, you will get more information on what's going to happen than if you simply show up to the fair the day of the fair and register. So when you're looking at information about fairs, pay attention to what they're saying. You may be able to get a list of the employers earlier if you pre-register. If there isn't a list of employers, sometimes what will happen is they'll provide a list of employers who came last year or has been to previous fairs. And that's usually a relatively good indicator of who will come again. It gives you the type of employers. So that gives you a place to start. Matt has a question on what's a good source to find upcoming fairs. Well, one source for alumni, well, for anyone who's welcome to look at our, everyone's welcome to look at our site, is at alumni.virginia.edu/career. We do have a section on events, and we will put up events for job fairs and career fairs, typically in the East Coast area, primarily New York and DC. If you want to know about your particular geographic area, Google job fairs Des Moines area, and you'll typically get a list. You can also look up your workforce development office in your area, which is a job search capability. It's a regional job search state-funded entity. They will also have information on that. Oh, yesterday I looked up job fairs Washington, D.C., and I got a whole bunch of them. That's a great way to look them up. You can also look up in your occupational area, your professional association. Often they will have job fairs associated with what you're doing. Going back to research, here's an example of two lists. It's partial lists. This list on the left is a list of participants from a previous year, the previous year of a job fair. And the one on the right is a little bit different than what you normally see. This doesn't show the hot links, but often you'll get a link to a employer's site. And then also here, I don't know if you can see well, they're saying what kinds of positions that they're hiring for, which is just great when you see that kind. That really helps you zero in on what you're doing. I circled here Capital One. So I thought, well, let's take a look. Say you're interested in Capital One. How would you go ahead and research that? So let's just take a minute and look at what you'll do. Remember what I said about trying to figure out what an employer's problems are. Often what will happen is people will look down here. Can you see where I'm looking? Where it says careers, and that's where the job postings are. 80% of people that go to career fairs only look down there under careers and go look at the job postings. And that's not a bad place to look because you get an idea of what they're looking for, and larger companies will put information down on a little bit about us. What's our culture? What do we care about? And Capital One definitely does that. But if we want to understand what the issues are with that company, what their problems are, what are they doing? I recommend you always look at this section, the About Us section. You can also look at sections on investor information. They'll say information about that. I like the About Us section because it gives you public affairs information. It gives you press releases. It tells you what happened recently. The number one complaint employers have is that people do not know what they do. If you show that you know what a company does and you know what's happened to them recently, you will shine above the rest when you talk to recruiters. So take some time to look at these other sections. I just highlighted them. These are simply learn what they do. What are their products and services? Up here, this says find a bank branch. You can see, you know, Capital One is just around the corner from me, if that's something that would be appropriate. So you can understand and then maybe put it in the context, the greater context of the industry, so you have an idea of who their competitors are. That's the way you really stand out from the crowd when you're talking to a recruiter. And you can only do this if you have targeted who you want to talk to, because there's absolutely no way you can do this kind of research for 80 different companies at a job fair. What else can you do? Well, the next thing that I would do is go to LinkedIn. How many people here, if you raise your hand, have used LinkedIn to research individuals and find out people they might be able to connect with? And just raise your hand. You may be familiar with this. Okay, not a lot of people. Oh, a few more. This is a tremendous resource for you. Here's how I got to this particular area. Just to recoup, if you go to your LinkedIn and sign in, go over here to this toolbar, click on Network, and the drop-down will say Alumni, and click on that. When you click on it, it will bring up a page that has the last school you attended, and you can change the school to whatever school you want. I selected UVA, and you will get this list. You can decide what years. You can click here, which I recommend, include people with no dates, and you can also identify where they work. For this, I said Capital One. Look, Capital One and Booz Allen, the number two, number three, it's actually number one, number two, employers of UVA grads. Students put down UVA, so you can't count that. So you can go through here and you can look for people, and you can look at their profiles. You can see what they do, and you can see whether or not these people might be good connections for you. You can connect with them, ask for their advice. But even just looking at their profiles and what their career trajectory has been may be useful to you. This is a tremendous asset for you. You can, if you connect with them, you may be able to use them as a referral, not for your work, but it's possible there are employee referral programs with the companies you're interested in. They may get money for referring you internally, and that really helps you out. If there are so many people applying for jobs online, The only way you will stand out from the online crowd is if somebody has helped you to be noticed. If you can be noticed at the job fair and they can put your name in for a referral, this will help you tremendously. You can also get insights on the company's problems, where you see the best place might be for you, and this is information you can share with the recruiter. Once you've finished your research, let's go on to step four, which is preparing the materials you want to put together. Now, your materials that you might want to take to a job fair include resumes. Depending on the kind of fair, you might want to take your portfolio of accomplishments, depending on the nature of your work, or copies of pieces or all of your portfolio. Depending on what you're doing, what your current position is, it may be appropriate to take your business card. If it isn't, you may want to create your own personal card. VistaPrint is a great place to order business cards. They're not expensive. They look nice. You can have your name, your general occupation, your LinkedIn profile, your email, your cell phone. It's a good way to hand out to people if you want to connect with them. You may want to bring references. You may or may not hand them out, but you might need it if you're asked to complete something. And personally, I put it in parentheses, your list of what you want to do, these targets and the goals, to make sure that you don't miss anybody when you're there. You would not hand that out to anyone. Also, based on who you want to talk with, what your goals and your targets are, you want to think about your appearance and how you want to introduce yourself. Any questions on what we've talked about on research or on the sorts of things you want to prepare? Okay. Now, resumes. This is not a resume webinar. We just had a great one. Larry Brayman, who is one of our webinar presenters and, of course, an alum, did a great one on targeted resumes, and I put the link here if you'd like to listen to it. But I will say that you want your resume to be concise and professional. Don't staple it. I always have this nightmare of somebody trying to, even though we don't Xerox much, what if they did, and it's going to get eaten up by the machine. So don't staple it. Bring more copies than you think you would need. Somebody always runs around in a job fair and says, do you know where there's a Xerox machine? I need to make more copies. So, you know, just don't even have that as a worry. Know you are going to have extras at the end. Now, you may want to bring some targeted versions. You may even have one that you absolutely targeted specifically for PricewaterhouseCoopers. And if so, go ahead and bring it, but make sure that any of these versions you have are easily identifiable so you don't have a nightmare of, oh my God, I gave the wrong one to them. And they're accessible. So when you're standing there in front of the company of your dreams with a recruiter that you set everything right to, all of a sudden you're digging through this portfolio. I know it's here. You know, I'll just a minute and I'll have it, because that's just not the image you want to put forth. So think ahead on all these things so that you have things nicely identified and they're where you want them to be. And you're just going to be fine. Everything can pretty much be handled by just thinking ahead. If you have those targets, you know what you want to do, you're going to be fine. And most people don't think ahead at all. Most people just show up. So you don't even need to think ahead a lot, and you're going to be well ahead of the game for everyone. You know, dress. This is such a tricky issue. This picture at the bottom, it's from a student fair. It's not great resolution, but I wanted to point it out because I think it talks about grazers here. So we've got, here's a student, and he's in his suit, and he's next to another student who's wearing a tie, long sleeve search, you know, nice khakis. They're doing well. They're talking to recruiters who, for some reason, never dress professionally because they're trying to reach out to you and be friendly. You, on the other hand, always need to dress conservatively. And then over here, we have another student. He's clearly attending the fair because he has his name tag on. And yet, he is wearing athletic shoes and shorts and his polo. I just thought it was a great picture. Don't be like him. And there's always people that show up, even with the most professional job fairs, they show up like that and they just don't match up. And your appearance does matter. So why is it that the job seekers need to dress conservatively even if the employers don't? And the reason is you are demonstrating respect and you're demonstrating that you know how. Simply. So when they say dress conservatively, I think that's a difficult question. So particularly for younger grads. So my conclusion is dress like Will and Kate, the royal family. I think that's as close as I can get to say dress conservatively and not feel like an undertaker. So rule of S, dress in solids, keep it simple. A suit. Now, women can wear a pantsuit as well as a skirt suit, but keep it not really short. And wear simple shoes, solid shoes. Don't wear slingbacks, ladies. And when you don't know what to do, dress conservatively. That will be fine. And conservatively means dress like the younger royal family. Don't dress like Prince Charles. Bottom line, neat, clean, presentable. Moderation in all things. So, in a survey of employers, in a survey of recruiters, body piercings was just not something people liked. So moderate piercings. If you can take out an eyebrow piercing and it does not offend who you are, do so. If you do not want to work for a company where they make you take out a body piercing to interview, then don't do it. These are decisions you need to be able to make. So consider your audience and be moderate. If you have long fingernails, be moderate. Be moderate on perfume. Be moderate with your tie. Be moderate with hair product. If you think in that way, you'll be fine. Questions on dress? Okay. It's always kind of tricky, and again, it really depends on where your job fair is. If your job fair is for a highly artistic arena, if you're in acting, that's going to be different than if you're in investment banking. So this is just a general comment. You need to dress like the people, with respect, like the people you would be interviewing with. I have actually sent people to watch what people wear when they come out of companies so they have a sense. It's a little stalky, but, you know, that's how it goes. All right, audience participation time. Please type in the way this person introduces himself. I know you know it. You can do this. No, it's literally the words this person used to introduce himself. That's right. Hillary. Anybody else? That's right. Mark. I will shoot you. Well, perhaps that is something he says second. But you're right, Janet and Glenn, the names Bond, James Bond. I assume he takes off the glasses. It is absolutely the right introduction for him. If he says, "Hey, Jimmy Bond, what's up?" That would so not fit the professional spy. I will shoot you before the day is over. And come at me, bro. I just don't think so. How you introduce yourself is another one of those little up your game a notch. Think about the way you're going to introduce yourself and then practice it. The names Bond, James Bond. When we do workshops, how lucky you are you're not in one, because you would be shaking hands with the person next to you and you would actually have to say, the name's Bond, James Bond, and you would crack up. Because it feels really funny when you have to say the name's Bond, James Bond. But I want you to think about how you introduce yourself when you introduce people and why you do it. When I introduce myself, people have a habit of calling me Ellen instead of Emily. And one reason for that is people don't listen for the first few seconds. So I say, hello, or good morning, something to get rid of that first few seconds. And then I'll say, my name's Emily, Emily Bardeen. And I always put that emphasis on een because people will call me Barden. Emily, Emily Bardeen. So they've got the Emily, they've heard it twice, and then they do the Bardeen. People with one syllable in their first name, Liz Sprouse, our other career advisor, Liz Sprouse. For one syllable, first names are a lot easier for people to grab and hear and retain. So think about how you want to introduce yourself and then practice it. And make sure that the name you're using is going to be reflected in your resume. So if your name is Carrie, but your formal name is Caroline, make sure your resume says Caroline paren Carrie Smith so they can make that connection later. And then make sure that your name tag says Carrie as well. Be consistent. Questions? Shaking that stirred. Thanks, Mark. All right. So now, think about that introduction for you. I won't ask you to write it down because you may not necessarily want to tell us you're here. But when you go back over this, as I'm sure you will tonight, think about that. How are you going to introduce yourself? And of course, what's going to go with it? Your handshake. So I actually put a picture of a handshake here because I want to talk about the anatomy of a handshake. The anatomy of an appropriate handshake is the fleshy part of your hand, can you see that right there, touches the other person's. I know this is a little ridiculous, but it actually touches the other person's. And you do wrap around your fingers like this picture shows. If you grab it too hard, that's when you create the deadly bone crusher handshake. Normally a guy does this, but not always. It really hurts. And it hurts guys as well as women, particularly if you're wearing rings. So please, check your handshake with somebody and have them say, oh my God, you just killed me. So don't do that. The other one, which is very difficult, is the, sorry, I'm running out again, is the dead fish. Now the dead, does anybody know of a bone crusher, I should say? Has anybody had a, just raise your hand, anybody ever shaken hands with a bone crusher where it just about kills you? Yeah, it's horrible, isn't it? You'll never forget it, and you can't hardly move after. All right, dead fish. I think you all know what I mean here. Okay, now a dead fish only shakes the hand, and it pretty much just grabs your fingers. Can I do this here? It's like that. How do you do? Like, and it's, oh, it's horrible. And it's very wimpy, and it's going to give across the image of being wimpy, just as a bone crusher gives across the image of being too aggressive. So we don't want to do that either. So what's just right? What's just right is just like this picture, firm, like shake and not stir, firm but not bone crushy. And then the way you shake it is you shake your whole forearm once or twice. And when you do that, plant your feet when you shake your hand, because if you don't, you have this tendency, you know, make sure you have a good sort of standing up, because if you don't, you're going to tend to push back when you shake your hand, and you'll sort of pull that person with you, and that can give the wrong impression as well. So everybody gets to practice handshakes tonight, and you're just going to go sort of pump, pump with your forearm. If you just shake the hand, you send that wimpy impression again, and that's really worth practicing, because that impression is right there immediately. Look them straight in the eye, smile. Shake, shake, the name's Bond, James Bond. There you go. If your name's Bond, James Bond, it's really kind of a difficult thing. Okay? Just right. All right, so you've done that. What are you going to say? Now, there's a lot of talk about the elevator speech. Everybody's you're stuck in the elevator and you have 2 minutes to tell them why you're the most wonderful person. What pressure? Well, now we're talking about 30-second speech, and sometimes you'll read on the internet, it's a 60-second speech. I think this is terrible pressure. And what I've seen people do now is they're so nervous about the time that they just blurt out everything they want to say, and it's hard to understand them. Talking quickly can be very, very detrimental because you can't hear what you're saying, especially if you're a non-native speaker. So let's not worry about time. Let's worry about what you're saying, but let's take it back to why the employer is interested in you. And the reason they're interested is three things: who you are, what you're looking for, and see this, why you're interested in the company. And what are we going to be doing? We're showing that we've researched, we understand, and we can describe why we can help them solve their problem. That's the step, step five, that is going to demonstrate to them that you can help solve the problem. That's what you need to do. Doesn't take 30 seconds, doesn't take 60 seconds. All you have to do is put it together. So here's a couple of examples, and you can work on yours. An experienced professional, mid-level opportunity in marketing and sales, friends that work at the company referred me. Wow. Internal, that must be good. Or heard good things about your work in Argentina. Really, what have you heard? So this myth, hear who you are. Remember how that recruiter has something in mind they're looking for? This is, they're thinking through their personal mental database. Oh, university, they have good people. Language skills and international experience. Oh, yeah, we need people that can, oh, really? We need people that can speak Spanish. Okay. Argentina, oh, she's looked us up. So that's what they're doing. They're looking to place you somewhere. That's what you're doing in this particular slide. You know how you put together your resume with keywords so that automated system will let you through? That's what you're doing here. Add some strengths. I have a lot of experience in risk management. Ooh, that's keyword. You're adding verbal keywords here. Financial planning. Procurement, giving them more clues on where you would fit in, and that's how you're going to get on their radar. And you can prepare this based on your research. Now, asking intelligent questions seems like an almost ridiculous thing to tell you to do. Like, why don't you ask stupid questions? But the point is, if you ask intelligent questions, again, stand out from the crowd. Never ask a question you could have looked up on the internet. They get so tired of it. How many people are going to go to that thing and say, oh, so what do you do at Capital One? And they, you know what? They're going straight in the wastebasket because they don't want them. Think of the questions that will create a conversation and will demonstrate you've done some homework and or will give you info. What role do career fairs like this play in your hiring process? Oh, we just come here for corporate support. Well, aren't you glad to know that? Okay, well, thanks so much. What do you value most about the company's culture? Well, that could be very interesting. You're demonstrating interest in them. You could have a good conversation. What's a typical career path? Here's one. Typical career path over 10 years. What's that saying is, I'm interested in the long haul in your company. I'm not going to be here 2 years. And that's a concern now because people are staying maybe 2 years and leaving. That's a good clue for a recruiter. These are the kinds of questions you should be interested in. There is a final question. Sometimes it's hard for people to ask this question, but it's an important one to ask. Is there a potential fit for me? It's the closing question for those of you in sales. It's important to ask because if the answer is yes, what's the next step? How can I follow up? Can I have your card? What's your email? Who should I get in touch with? This is the one about can I get that interview, the follow-on, the info interview, whatever it is. But if the answer is no, it's equally important because you need to know who to rule in and who to rule out, just like murder mysteries. Are you a suspect or not? And if not, give one of your cards. You never know. But always be appreciative because they're going to remember that. Because it's so rare that people say, thank you. They're going to say in the laundry room, you know, that guy, the one who was really tall or the one who did whatever, he has such good questions. I felt so bad we didn't have something for him. Really? What was his background? Well, he did this, this, and this. Really? Oh, man, I wish he'd come to our table. Oh, I have his card. That's how stuff works. You'll never know. It's good to know if you're not a candidate as well. Even though the question's hard, ask it. Any questions on this? I know I went through it fast. You can go back and re-listen. Okay. Thanks for your comment, Leah. Okay, so we've got all prepared. Are you prepared or what? Very. Step 6, the day has come. Metaphorically and literally, get there early. If it's an all-day career fair, those HR people are going to be so exhausted by the end of it, they're not going to remember who you are. If the question is, but I can't go, it's during my work day, how important is it to you? You're just going to have to decide. If it's not that important, arrange to come at a different time or no, you're not going to get them at your best. So you need to make the arrangements to meet the goals using your targets. But know that the best time to be at a fair is early. And in fact, get there earlier than when you want to start. And here's why. When you show up, virtually every fair is going to have a map showing you what employer is at which table. Get that map, find a quiet spot, and sit down, decide what order you are going to visit the companies. You may have been able to get this ahead of time. If you did, great. If not, just do it now. You may want to start with some folks who are not quite as important to you so you can warm up. Make sure that you decide how many tables to talk to before you want to take a break. You probably want to make sure you brought some water. You probably want to make sure that you have some place you can dump anything you need to, so you're just focused on what you're doing. Understand your plan of attack. This is just like, I'm going to do this first, I'm going to do that second. You actually have your plan. Now, you may need to revise it as you go along. That's fine. But you don't want to be one of those grazers. You do want to know what you want to accomplish when you're there. And if it's a really big fair with 70 or 80 employers, you really need to have this squared away. So take some time to do that. You know, travel light. Has anybody ever seen you raise a hand when you've been at a career fair, one of those people, and they've got like their laptop on one side and then they've got, if it's a woman, you've got your purse and then you got a briefcase and they're exhausted because they're carrying around all this stuff and they got two plastic bags because they took a giveaway from everybody. You know, maybe you don't need a giveaway from everybody. Maybe what you should do is do your business and then go back and get a giveaway if you feel you need one. It looks a lot more professional. Maybe you don't really need all those, you know, koozies. Just decide what's the look you're going for. The overloaded wagon. Yeah, there you go, Brendan. It's all about what the appearances you're putting forward. So I recommend don't bring a backpack. Don't bring that stuff. Figure out how not to do it. So if you can drive in a car, that's great. You can leave your stuff in the car. Just bring your keys. Bring a portfolio. Ladies, take a purse you can put everything in that isn't going to be overloaded. Guys, just bring a portfolio or something and easily put a few things in. It looks really professional. We notice it when people look frazzled. That is a first impression. So think about how you're going to do it. You may need to bring some water with you, so you may want to have something you can put that in. if there isn't going to be a snack bar. If you're going to be there for several hours, it's very easy to get dehydrated, and that will take your energy level down, and you want your energy level up. So travel light. If you need to change your clothes because you're worried you're going to have on career fair clothes and your company doesn't usually do that, that's another issue you're going to have to work through. I've noticed this lately on name tags. Name tags. What you want to make sure you do is have the same name on your name tag that's on your resume and make sure it's legible. Your name tag goes above your right arm so that when you shake hands, people can see it. Don't write it with a regular pen. They may pre-prepare your name, but if they don't, you really want a marker. People that are slightly OCD may want to bring their own marker with them. That's the very first introduction you have. Most of us don't write anymore with a pen. We do everything with a keyboard. So if you haven't written your name lately in print, practice. So I've looked at people's name tags and I can't tell what their name is from it. You don't want to do that because it sends a message, you're messy. So these are little things, but they're the things that make that little difference and make you really stand out as somebody who's done everything right. Now we're going to execute that plan. You're going to go through, you're going to hit every single one of those people, and you're going to do what you said you were going to do. That is how you're going to stand out from everyone, because you've got your targets, and you're going to make sure that you've hit everyone in the order in which you said. So executing what you planned is great. If you've not had time to do everything because you only found out about this yesterday, it is still worth going. It's still worth sitting down and taking 10 or 15 minutes to map that plan of action before you go into the room and go to the people you want to do for your targets. Don't go in blind. You won't be as successful. When you do go and you're starting to talk to people, keep in mind what your goals were so your actions are associated with them. Extroverts can have a real problem at a career fair because it gets so much fun to talk to people, but you don't necessarily achieve your goals. So you want the positive attention, you will probably get it, but you do want to make connections in the arena you want to. Just a second, Park, and I'll give you an answer to that question. Make sure you know the company. If you have referrals, mention them. Demonstrate keyword strengths. So remember the things you prepared to do. Now, in addition, stay energetic. Don't forget to network while you're in line. You may be standing in line for a little while, and that's a wealth of information from your fellow job seekers. You don't necessarily have to give away everything you know, and they probably won't either, but you do have time to be able to talk to them and see what they're seeing in the marketplace, what they thought about some of the other companies, some of the questions they may have been asked, and you can share a little of that too. Now, on foreign nationals, my background is in English as a foreign language, my very first career. I think it's really important for foreign nationals to be able to speak clearly in terms of being able to interact. That's one of the issues they're going to face, Park, and you know that. They should be talking to the companies about what their policies are on sponsoring people for work, if it's United States, and getting that they need to be truthful about what their situation is. If their education has taken place outside of the United States, they should be able to make a conversation on what their education is comparable to in the United States. Those are some of the questions offhand that I'd be able to talk about with foreign nationals. Follow through. Don't forget, when you leave, say, pat yourself on the back. I bet you did a great job. But don't forget to follow through and do it quickly. But I'm here to tell you, those recruiters aren't going to remember who you are. So don't say, I'm the person that met you at the fair because they met 9 million people. Remind them who you are. Thank them. tell them what they told you. You told me to follow up because da 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 da. I'm so glad. I'm very interested. I look forward to hearing from you soon. And, you know, attach your resume again. You have to let them know because they're swamped. Don't get mad if they don't get back to you in a day because everybody else did that too. Apply for the jobs they said. Tell them you applied. Tell them when you applied. Like their company on Facebook. Do everything they said and try and connect with them on LinkedIn while it's still fresh in their mind. Also, follow up with any of the humans you met that aren't recruiters so you can expand your network. If you got any new referrals, follow up right away. Update your notes and keep on going. What do you do when you follow up and the positions have been filled? Tell them you appreciate it so much and go back to that HR person and say, I see the positions are filled. I'm very interested in similar positions. I'd like to talk to you about that. What do you suggest as a similar position for someone with my background? And then look for somebody in LinkedIn that is similar that you could get advice from. So these are our 8 steps. Set your goals. Focus on the targets. You probably have targets from your job search. If you don't, you need some targets. The research, everybody tells you that, but it's really important. Then prepare ahead of time because that takes away anxiety and it really makes you look great. Practice. Show up early so you have time to get a lay of the land and you can plan literally what you're going to do and where you're going to go. Execute that plan just the way you said you were going to and then follow through. And actually, that kind of reminds me of our very, very awesome basketball team, ACC Champs. And good luck and wahoo wah. I am ready to take any questions you have for me on career fairs or on other job search questions. You're welcome.
I'm going to jump in here while we're waiting for questions. We are coming up on 1 o'clock, so Emily has agreed to stay online for the questions. So if you can, please stay with us. Before we get back to your questions, I'd like to give a big thank you to Emily for this very helpful webinar. I hope you all are ready to stand out from the crowd at your next job fair. I also want to let you know that our next Friday forum will take place in 2 weeks on March 21st. We are taking a break from the job search strategies we've been focusing on recently, and UVA alum and literary agent Jeff Kleinman is going to give us the inside scoop on how to get published. I hope you will join us then. I'm going to move the slide to that. So we will get back to Emily with more questions, but if any of you have to leave us, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate you spending your time with us. As always, we have been recording today's webinar, and everyone who registered will receive a link to the webinar recording in an email later today. Also, please remember to complete the Friday Forum survey. Now let's see if there are some questions.
Well, I've seen a couple of questions. There is a question on are older job seekers frowned upon, and that's a lot like Mark's question. As an older alum, I've resisted putting my information online. Just how important is it to have a Facebook or a LinkedIn account? So I'm going to kind of put those answers together. Being older is, in and of itself, is not a problem. What there is a bias against, and this bias does occur, is a perception that someone who is older does not have the skill set that is required for a position, or sometimes that someone who is older does not have the stamina for a job, or someone who is older is too expensive to hire for a position. Those are things that can happen. And sometimes there's this notion of, they just don't get it. They don't get how business goes today. And all 4 of those things can be true, and all of them can be not true, too. So when an older person is applying for a job at a career fair, it is important to have the skill set that is needed and have it current. My comment I made previously about staying current with technologies and skill sets that are in the marketplace, as we get older, it is more and more critical that you understand what's happening in your occupation and you stay up to speed, and that you're not just coasting in your job, but you're staying alert and aware of what's going on, and that your accomplishments show that you're doing things that are leading edge. That you are dressing, I don't want you to dress like a 20-year-old, but I don't want you to dress, in this case, like Prince Charles or the Queen of England. I want you to be energetic, I want you to look energetic, and be able to demonstrate your skill set. The issue on income can be tricky, and that's why you have to apply for the right jobs at the right level. So my question is, are they frowned upon when you're older? It depends. That's an issue. Now, how important is it to have a Facebook or LinkedIn account? From the job standpoint, I don't care about Facebook at all. To me, Facebook is really the pool, and LinkedIn is the boardroom. So to me, it's critical to have a LinkedIn account. That is how we connect with people today. We have about 100,000 people on LinkedIn who will show up as having the University of Virginia in their education. If you search those people and you're a UVA alum, that gives you an automatic reason why they might talk to you. You're, quote, related. And any school you've attended, any group, there's amazing groups. The ability to simply research LinkedIn and see what people are doing, look at their career trajectory, is a gold mine in terms of understanding what's going on in the marketplace. I think it's absolutely imperative. Some people think of LinkedIn only as a place to be seen and to look for jobs. And those things are important. But for my money, that research tool is far and away the most important piece of LinkedIn. And we do have a couple of webinars on LinkedIn that you might want to listen to. LinkedIn has very good training capabilities on it. You can Google how to use LinkedIn. There's LinkedIn for Dummies. I absolutely recommend you get on LinkedIn. Are certain types of career fairs we should focus on? It all depends on what you're looking for. I hate to give that answer, it depends. But it depends on what you're looking for. So if you are, that's really all I can say. If you would like to tell me more about what you're looking for, I can tell you what kinds of fairs. See, targeting over and over, target, target, target. When I review minimum qualifications for many job postings, they often seem ridiculous, and I think, well, good luck finding someone with that combination of skills and experience. Should I disregard some of those qualifications that I don't have when I have many of the others? Yes, and it depends. When I look at job postings with clients, I have them literally take a piece of paper or Excel and write down phrase by phrase every single requirement. So 4-year degree, master's preferred, good communication skills, you know, each one of those phrases, write them down. And then I move them around so we clump them together, all the similar ones in one place. So BA, master's preferred. Good writing, good speaking, communications, conflict, whatever, all together. And that'll end up being 5 or 6 clumps of requirements. And within there, I'm going to find that sometimes they've repeated the same requirement 3 or 4 times. They may have repeated the very same phrase 3 or 4 times. And the way I interpret that is, the things that get repeated, the groups that are the biggest, those are the most important things to that particular employer. And that's how I decide whether or not it's appropriate to apply. If I don't have the thing that they've really focused on, I maybe not should not apply. But if I have the really primary things, and it's some of those extraneous things I don't have, I'm going to go ahead and apply. I'm also going to use LinkedIn to try and find somebody in that company or somebody else that might give me some inside scoop on what's important to them. Because knowing their problem helps me decide whether or not I can solve it. So it's about how I can solve the problem that more than it is, do I have the qualifications? The more you know about that, the better off you are in terms of applying. I hope that helps. I'm joining UVA this summer. Any advice on how to connect with employers before I arrive at US? Virtual fairs, cold email calls, thanks. Cleo, I'm not sure I understand your question. So are you abroad and you're coming to the US? When you say you're joining UVA, does that mean you're attending it? I'm not sure I understand your question. Could you please write some more while, yes. So you're going to be coming to attend UVA and you want to have a job while you're here? Is that what you're saying? If you're an undergraduate, you'll be working with the financial assistance folks to look for a job there. If you're in graduate school, you can also work with them. There are not a lot of virtual fairs here. If you were in graduate school, I would work with the graduate school career services office and talk to them. Oh, the MS Commerce program in July. Talk to the Commerce Career Services people. They will be able to help you. Okay. Most jobs require 2+ years of experience. How do you get experience when you need it to get it? Well, if you're a recent grad, the way you get it is internships. And that's why we encourage students to really work on internships. What they're really saying when they say 2+ years of experience, they're saying, I want somebody who knows what it's like to work in an office. I don't want to have to train you. I want you to know how things work. I want you to have already figured out all that entry-level stuff. So when you come in, you know how to use Outlook, you know what it's like in a meeting, you know pivot tables, stuff like that. I would consider what your background is. Do you have any experience in that arena? Unpaid experience is experience. You don't have to have been paid for it. That could be what your issue is. You can also get volunteering that could help depending on what your area is. But that's really what they're saying when they're saying that kind of experience.
All right, thank you, everybody. I think we're just about out of time. Thank you again, Emily, and thank you, everyone else, from Alumni Career Services here at UVA's Alumni Association. Please join us again in 2 weeks for our next Friday forum, and have a great weekend.
Goodbye, everyone. Thank you.